got the job on the technicality of a legend who recommended you. You are nothing, you are a fool, and you are a waste of time. Good night.
I've kept really quiet, but I'll tell you something. He went down in my estimation when he said that.
I don't believe personal insults help it.
Now, Jack Charlton is quite right to be indignant about that, and the gentleman in the yellow hat really exists nowhere in the firmament of international football.
The 10-man board of the FAI, the clowns, are now going to put the names in a hat. They're going to pick people who they've read about in newspapers.
Give it a blam and flash it into the net. What a goal that was.
And of course, Celtic.
I agree with you.
Ronnie just wants to say the word Schweinsteiger.
Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Welcome everyone to the Ball Study Football Show. My name is Mark Farley. I am joined by Gary Connaughton and Sean Meehan. Interesting fact about the three of us. None of our names are fun to say.
It's very hurtful.
Sorry, Gary, but look, it's true. You can't make the argument that it's fun to say them.
Connaughton maybe has a bit of zest to it.
Yeah, but nah. My full name, if you include my middle names, is very fun to say, but I'm not going to reveal that on the podcast.
Dox yourself.
Because today our request is to crown the top five names of players who's fun to say in Premier League history. We've independently put together our five names.
Yep.
We're going to discuss them later on in the show. We're also going to have our hot takes from the Premier League weekend. We're going to be crowning our Scoundrel of the Week. We're going to have our Irish player roundup from Gary as usual. If this is your first time listening or you haven't subscribed yet, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe by searching balls.ie on all good podcast apps. Or indeed, if you just want to listen to the football show, you can search football on balls.ie. You'll find our football feed there. But with the balls.ie, the full podcast feed, you'll get all our shows, including World and Union, our rugby union show, or our rugby show, as we like to call it in Ireland. Right? I don't know why the union just made me say rugby union then as well. the build-up podcast in association with Ladbrokes, where we build up to the sporting weekend every week, and all our GAA coverage as well. But anyway, on with today's show. Let's start with our hot takes. Gary Connaughton, what's your hot take from the weekend?
I don't really know how much of a hot take it is at this stage, but I'm going to say it anyway, and because I think it's just a fact that all Manchester United and Liverpool matches are a bit shit.
I would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah,
I don't know how you could not agree at this stage, because every time we go into these games and you're looking forward to them, you think, oh, it's going to be a great occasion, Man United v Liverpool, you know, it's always a good game, and then you sit there for 90 minutes just waiting for it to end. And that's the way it was pretty much again this weekend.
Was it because the time, was it Red Thursday or Red Tuesday or something Sky Sports?
It was Red Monday. I remember it like it was
Red
yesterday.
Monday.
It was in 2016. It would have been Klopp's first. No, was it 2016 or 2016?
2016 would have been his
October
first.
October 2016 it was. I remember it because I was in Madrid at the time. And I actually went to an Irish bar to watch the game. And I sat there and it was the worst game of football that I've ever seen in my life. And Man United played 10 men behind the ball. Liverpool didn't have a chance all game. And Ibrahimovic had one, like, kind of scissors kick kind of attempt. And that was the only shot in the whole game. But that was kind of peak shitness. But I don't think it's really been great apart from, like, even with...
Yeah, like, we all sort of predicted that it was just going to be, you know, Liverpool at a canter. Forgetting that, you know, United have a tendency in these matches to just kind of shut up shop.
Yeah.
They did it quite well, I thought. It was bad. It wasn't very good. It wasn't entertaining.
I think we all agreed last week when we talked about what we're doing for our... you might see them on social and on site, our Ladbrokes 1-2-3 picks, where we have to predict scores from some of the games. In the Liverpool-Man United game, we had all agreed that United weren't going to score, but Liverpool could win. Liverpool might win that game 5-0, but also it might end up being a nil-all draw, because that's the kind of thing that happens. And although it ended up 1-1, it was really that. It was still in that sort of ethos of the nil-all that we were.
It was the most nil-nil 1-1 of all time.
Yeah, it was like immediately after the match, I forgot that there were two goals.
Yeah,
I certainly forgot Rashford's goal. Like, and then when then towards the end of the match, I was like, oh yeah, it's 1-0. Yeah, I forgot Lallana came on. Never mind, scored. To be honest,
PJ in the office forgot Lallana played football.
Me and PJ were in here yesterday, and he didn't even notice him coming on. And then the goal went in, and he looked up. He goes, is that Adam Lallana? I was like, yeah, he's still knocking about, all right. But like, when's the last time you remember there being a good Liverpool Man United game? I think The one I remember, but I don't even know if it was a good game or it was just a couple of memorable incidents, was the one where in Old Trafford, I think United won 3-1.
The Benteke overhead.
Benteke.
Anthony Martial!
Oh, yes!
Welcome to the Premier League!
Yeah.
That was probably one of Martin Tyler's worst commentary performances. And I'm a fan of his sound bites, don't get me wrong. You know, I'll never forget my guy G that used to play for Sunderland when he rounded the goalkeeper. He's done it! But that was one of the moments where I was like, Martin, shut up with it. Because he literally, when Benteke scored the overhead, he was like, oh, goal for Liverpool, Benteke scored.
Yeah, and like,
it was an unbelievable goal.
Benteke was muck, but that's one of the best goals I remember being scored for Liverpool and that I've ever seen. Like, it was
goal for Liverpool, outrageous. Christian Benteke. And then Martial sort of runs into two players, goes past them, he's like, he's going through a goal and I want a goal. Like, come on.
Sean, what was your hot take from the weekend?
I have a thing about Marcus Alonso. I'm convinced he's terrible.
Listeners of the podcast are well aware of this, but anyone who hasn't heard this, your views on Marcus Alonso before,
I'm convinced Marcus Alonso is a terrible footballer, and no amount of good play can convince me otherwise. And as soon as I know. Listen, I'm steadfast in my ways, and I'm sticking to them. Frank Lampard made the right decision at the start of the season, giving the starting left back spot to Emerson Palmieri. Now he should really move Cesar Azpilicueta over to the left, play Reece James at the right back spot, and Chelsea, you know, could feasibly win seven or eight trophies. But you know, forget about that. He's playing Marcus Alonso, and again, Alonso was the match winner against Newcastle, scored a goal. Then Chelsea released a video from their training today where Willy Caballero displayed, you know, great sort of gymnastic strength.
It was very impressive.
It was very impressive.
What was this?
So Willy Caballero decided they were doing free kick practice, and Willy Caballero was in goal, and it was Marcus Alonso on the edge of the box, lining up the free kick, and Caballero basically goes, try get it in the top corner. And to signify the top corner, Caballero swung off the crossbar with his arms, then curled his legs around the post to leave a small window at the top corner of the goal.
It was small.
It was quite a small gap for Alonso to throw it into. Alonso, 20 yards out, just curls the thing. Doesn't even touch Caballero at all. Straight in, top bins.
Over a wall as well.
Over a wall.
I'm just watching this here. Oh, wow.
I know. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Also, it looks like it's going to hit Caballero until the very last second.
The whole way, you're like, oh, Willie's about to fall off the crossbar.
So, Charlene, sorry, just to get back to your point here. We're talking
He's still not good. Like, Alonso's still not good. All of these things he does in spite of being bad at football.
How?
Like,
Six goals in the Premier League's first season of Chelsea, 3 assists.
He's a left back.
Second season, 7 goals. He's a left back. Assists.
But wasn't there some thick piece on The Atlantic last week? And aren't we all deciding that that's what fullbacks' jobs are now? That they're not supposed to.
He's a
left wingers with defensive tendencies.
I'm not having
a left wing back as well. Ashley Young can play left back, Marcus Alonso can play there.
Well, see, what you're saying is if Ashley Young can play left back, the only difficulty is he can't. That's why everybody goes mad. Listen, I'm not going to change my ways over Marcus Alonso.
1 goal and 2 assists in 4 starts this season.
I'll tell you what he is.
He also has terrible hair as well. Can I just say that as well?
I like his hair.
It's bad hair. Oh. The 80s called. They want the bouffant back. Oh, come on.
I'll tell you what, the other thing that might colour people who don't watch Chelsea that closely, their opinion of Marcus Alonso and whether or not he's a good player, is that he is a phenomenal fantasy football player. Like, he got too expensive last season when he went up to 7 million, but he's back again doing bits, getting me 55 points in our fantasy draft league, mostly because of Alonso, getting his clean sheet, getting his goal, gets assists. Go on.
Emerson's injured though, so he's probably going to be dropped when he comes back.
Oh, I know that.
No, I think Emerson Palmieri was fine when he played at the start of the season. But
you're claiming Alonso's dirt. So.
Alonso is dirt, but that's what I'm saying. Like, move Azpilicueta over to the left where he played and won a Premier League title. Play Reece James, because you're playing you're playing Mount, you're playing Abraham, you're playing Hudson-Odoi. Why don't you play Reece? I love Reece James. He looks like he has no eyebrows.
Sean.
Yeah.
Just easy on the Reece James thing for a second here, because what I want to talk about is fancy football. This is my hot take for the weekend, right? there's a crisis unfolded. And I think it's usually my fancy football team is in crisis, right? Or I have a crisis.
I've heard but this
I
before.
Think, yeah. I think everybody's fancy football team is in crisis at this point. Like, if you're looking at the average scores this week, average points this week, I know it's not over yet because you've got Monday Night Football, 30 points. Last week, last game week, 36 points. Like, there's just two terrible weeks. Yeah. And I don't know what the answer is because I don't see, like, say for me, right, Adrian has dropped. That's a clear issue there. Man City's defence is a shit show. You just don't know who to own anymore. I owned Zinchenko and Otamendi. I sold Zinchenko because he wasn't playing the week before. Then Otamendi doesn't play and Zinchenko does play. Like, I just don't know, lads. All of a sudden, Chelsea, Tomori, all of a sudden Chelsea have the best defence in the league and they had a shit defence about 3 weeks ago.
They still do, like, in fantasy football sense, they might have a relatively decent defence. In real life football terms, they still have a bad defence.
They've kept two clean sheets this season.
Yarmolenko.
They were in the last two weeks, though, so...
Yarmolenko was ripping things up. I bought him, and now he's been dropped.
This sounds like a you problem, there. Mark.
Mo Salah. I'm just going through my team, for instance. Mo Salah, obviously, didn't play at the weekend with injury, but at the same point, I think it's time to maybe sell Salah and bring in Mane instead. Aguero didn't play at the weekend, was rested. Timo Pukki, I mean, we all own Pukki. It's time to get off the Pukki
don't
train.
I don't own Pukki.
Well, I also don't play Fantasy Premier League, but yeah. I don't own Pukki.
I meant we as the...
I haven't been
the fraternity of...
People who play Fantasy
Premier League. I never bought into the hype of Pukki. I knew it was going to be a fad. He's no Mikel Forsell. And he's certainly no Jonathan Johansson.
I had him in our draft league, which I'm king in, so I'm not going to complain. But Mark, I think the whole fantasy football thing just comes down to the people are so dependent on the big players. So when you have a weekend where Salah doesn't score, Kane doesn't score, Aguero doesn't score, who else? Pukki doesn't score, Aubameyang hasn't played yet. Like, when them none of them lads score, then all of a sudden everyone's team looks a bit crap. Unless you
I don't
like,
know, though. If you look at, like...
and look Sterling
at the
well.
Last two game weeks, right? Top goal scorer, top point scorer, defender in the league so far is Pereira for Leicester. Last two game weeks, 1 point, 2 points. You look at the Liverpool defence in the last couple of game weeks. Again, 3 points, 2 points for Trent Alexander-Arnold. I think Robertson might have gotten an assist in there, so that bumps that him up a little bit. But these are the top five lads. Patrick Van Aanholt did all right running at a point this weekend. You can't really... Van Aanholt at 5.6 is a bit expensive to... Do you risk it all the time? Kevin De Bruyne, I don't think he's done anything in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, no points. Didn't play against Wolves and then got 3 points against Crystal Palace. Did nothing, just got a clean sheet. So you're looking at all the big hitters, Sterling, David Silva, Mount, Mahrez. Like, it's actually Jack Grealish and John McGinn are the only two reliable lads.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Midfield. That's exactly what my point is, though, because that's why everything looks shit, because the lads who you normally depend on aren't doing anything.
You get a lull of about 2 weeks.
In general,
sudden,
if you don't own at least three or four of the top 10 midfielders in the game, you're not going to be up doing anything. Like, people are... Anyone who's benefiting from the last couple of weeks are people who have been doing terribly so far this season.
That's...
So if I log in and I've seen that my team have some...
Like, Raul Jimenez... is all of a sudden doing well.
Oh, yeah. He's always good for a goal.
He's not always good for a goal.
He was poor to start the season. I had him and got rid of him.
He was always good for a goal last season then. Jesus, he's only been in the Premier League for a year and a bit.
One, two, three, four. He'd gone four games without a goal. He's not always good for a goal.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden now he is good for a goal.
But anyway, why...
You want to get in this Youri Tielemans bandwagon with me, Mark?
I was... get on the bandwagon. As in the bandwagon that I started. And you well know that. You're only trying to deny me. I bought him the D.
Mark, how's Danny Ceballos doing, actually?
Shite. Which 100%... Again, I don't know why you're laughing. That proved my point.
It doesn't prove your point.
It doesn't prove your point. Where are you in your respective leagues?
What's that got to do with Ceballos?
It's just got to do with everything.
This has turned into a shouting match.
Neither of you can have adult conversation about fancy football, because the minute I bring it up, it's let's hurl abuse at Mark. And
I can't have an adult conversation with, you know, to do with anything where the first word is fantasy. it's just not me. I'm sorry.
I'm finished with the two of you. Let's get on to our David Luiz Scoundrel of the Week, and I want to nominate both of you first of all.
Oh, that's harsh.
That's very mean.
So the David Luiz Scoundrel of the Week. I think now, lads, I'm going to go out on a limb here. It may be a rare week because of the fact that Arsenal aren't playing until tonight, that we will have no Arsenal players nominated for Scoundrel of the Week.
I'm surprised they haven't managed to find their way in anyway, somehow.
Yeah, it's a bit of a
shock. Just by virtue of their existence.
But who's our first nominee, Sean?
I'm going to go with Fabinho.
Oh, yeah.
My guy, poor old Daniel James. Now, Daniel James is getting a bad rap. Like, this is his first season of playing, you know, at the very top level. He was done for a dive against Chelsea.
Rightly.
Rightly so, but then got done for a dive against Wolves then the week after, you know.
Possibly rightly.
Possibly rightly, probably not. And since then, he had a pseudo rep that was kind of upheld, and he was known to go down easy. Then in the international break, he feigned a head injury.
Not a fan of that, no.
He feigned a head injury, and Ryan Giggs talked about his nous with regards to, you know, feigning a serious injury. Now, like, he did get a whack, but he didn't get a whack in the head. So
he did it again at the weekend where Van Dijk took him, but he didn't get hit anywhere near his head, and he went down holding his head and got the game stopped.
Yeah, there was one aspect of it, of the match on Sunday between United and Liverpool, that was very entertaining, and it was the sheer amount of times Daniel James just got absolutely walloped. The Van Dijk one, Van Dijk, who's huge, and Daniel James, who's tiny, he's a tinchy little man, and Daniel James ran in there and he got done in. Joel Matip also did the same thing. But this one, we're going to go with Fabinho, just surely because Fabinho knew exactly what he was doing. Oh. Like, he knew exactly what he was doing, and he knew he wouldn't be reprimanded for it, and nor should he. Like, you're just putting your strength out on one side. So when Daniel James was running through, the ball got away from him, but he couldn't stop running before he reached Fabinho. And you can't really see his eyes in majority of TV angles, but I'm sure it was the most frightened he's ever been in his life.
It's the first time in a while I've seen a hip to face.
Yeah, like, as soon as you see the outline of Fabinho's arse, you immediately should be, here, no way.
It's he clattered him. If you were looking for, if there was a dictionary with the phrase, he clattered him, and with a good H in that.
He let him know he was there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He really did. And Daniel James didn't know where he was, where anything was, what his name was. Daniel James won't be showing up in our debate towards the end of the show. It's pretty poor name, to be honest. Pretty boring.
Sick of talking about him now.
Yeah, but I have to say his full name. I can't just say James because he's got two first names.
Second nominee, Gary.
I'm going to go a bit more left field, and I'm going to go with a goal that was scored in the Austrian Bundesliga over the weekend. It's a favourite league of ours on this show. But it was a match between LASK, is it LASK?
LASK Linz.
Okay, that's it. Like, they were playing Mattersburg. They won 7-2, a bit of a mad scoreline, but the main thing from the game was a goal scored by one Marco Raguse.
Ragu sauce family.
No, different breed of them. But
when's your scoundrel of the week day?
this goal is up on site if you want to go look at it. But basically, it's an overhead kick. But I've never seen a goal like it before. What happened was Raguse had the ball squared to him, and he thought he was going to get a tap in. But all of a sudden, there was great defending from one of the Mattersburg players. Got back, blocked it, and then Raguse ended up like lying on his back with his head pointed towards the goal facing away, but the ball was at his feet. So what he did was he scooped it up and then just volleyed it back into the goal. So it was like kind of a overhead kick, except he was already lying on the ground and he flicked it up for himself.
It's like when you're sitting on the couch and you want to start a game and keep your uppies, but you don't want to get off the couch to
exactly.
get the ball.
It's exactly what it was like. Yeah.
It's an interesting week for Scoundrel League, because usually it's people doing desperate things. Fabinho was obviously a desperate thing, but there's a couple of nominees I want to mention here who have all really excelled in scoundrel, in the positive sense of scoundrel.
That's the Roberto Firmino scoundrel, yeah, rather than the David Luiz exactly. scoundrel.
So,
which is the spectrum of scoundrel that we've decided on. He's airing a bit more towards Firmino. Oh no, he's a bit of a Luiz scoundrel.
Rajanai Ngolan for his goal for Cagliari.
Does he play for Cagliari? I thought it was Bologna. Was it not Bologna?
No, Cagliari. I like the pronunciation.
Thanks very much.
Not Calgary, as I pronounced it for 22 years
of
my
exactly.
life.
I'm always like, I always take out the limb. I'm like, it is Cagliari, isn't it? It's not Calgary.
Oh, he rolls the R.
Or Atlanta. But absolutely stunning goal. If anyone hasn't seen it, check it out on social media.
Stay hit, that one.
If there was no net, that would be flying past our window any given minute.
Yeah, exactly.
That thing.
But speaking of goals, I want to give a shout out to goalkeeper Stefan Hagerup. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it right, but I'm going to pretend it's Hagerup.
Well, if he was born anywhere near my house, he'd be Hagerup.
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 Stefan Hagerup was playing for ULL Kissa. They're an amalgamation, I think. They're like Kilmurry are bricking. In the Norwegian,
the Temple Oak Sin Street, the they're Norwegian in the, second division.
They're in the Kerry Senior Championship.
Yeah, they're in the Norwegian second division. They came from 1-0 down at the weekend on Sunday to beat Skeid or Sked. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Skeid. It's S-K-E-I-D.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
The Hagerup equalised for them in the 89th minute. Now let's remember, I just introduced him as the goalkeeper. He absolutely stitched a free kick. It was gorgeous. I showed the two of you just before we went on air. It wasn't just that this is a goalkeeper scoring a free kick. It's a goalkeeper scoring a worldy of a free kick.
You could have thrown about three Willy Caballeros in the top corner of that goal. and he still wouldn't have touched Caballero.
It was
beautiful.
The way the trajectory was on the ball and how hard he hit it. I don't know how he got that dip on it while hitting it so hard. Oh, it was outrageous.
Oh, absolutely lovely.
Vamuti Diamande then scored an injury time to give them the win. But what like, again, like I was saying, but we get it up on site later on. If we hopefully it's on site by the time you listen to this. If it's not, just search his name, Hagerup, H-A-G-E-R-U-P in Twitter, you'll find it. Lads, I want to give it to him. He's a goalkeeper scoring a worldie of a free kick in the Norwegian second division for an amalgamated club that eventually led to them winning the game.
Yeah. I mean, a catalyst for a victory quite like that needs something special. And there's nothing more special than a goalkeeper scoring a goal, but like with actual quality.
And it's scoundrel behaviour. Like a 9-goaler, and you kind of expect him to score goals like that.
I mean, with the look of him.
Yeah.
You know? He's got a bit of elm.
I do like Ragu's as well, but like, yeah. It was almost like for him, that was the thing. Like, it was the obvious thing to do in that
situation.
Also,
they won 7-2.
I just want to say that I'm leaning towards Fabinho just because it gave me so much joy, but I am willing to wilt to
I don't know if we should be celebrating Fabinho's thing either. Well, it's past scoundrel behavior no. there. It's thuggery.
No.
It's I've got to tell you.
It was definitely on the David Luiz end of the scale.
Because it happened so beautifully whereby like the camera, when it changes position almost and you have the wide shot and James is running and then all of a sudden it cuts to a close up. And then it just happened so beautifully.
Everyone in Old Trafford and watching on TV seen it coming apart from Daniel James, which was the best part.
And now he doesn't see anything. But to be honest, I You've changed me.
Yep.
You've changed me.
I'm willing to go for that.
Hagerup. Congratulations, Stefan Hagerup. You are David Luiz, Scoundrel of the Week. Right, Gary, let's get our Irish player roundup. So, Gary, after a disappointed international break, in the words of, I can't remember whether it was Kengis or Kang from The Simpsons, we must look...
Sorry, it's actually Kang and Kodos.
Yeah.
Kang and Kodos.
You're thinking of Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan.
Kang and Kodos. I was thinking when I was saying it, I was like, that doesn't sound right. I can't remember whether it was Kang or Kodos, but as they said in The Simpsons, we must not look backwards, we must look forwards and always hurtling towards freedom. What Irish players, Sean, at the weekend, who's the lads that are going to come in and rescue us against Denmark and get us the win we need to qualify for the Euros?
Mark, also don't forget we have an important November Test International.
Oh, against New Zealand.
Against New Zealand. There are no friendlies in November against New Zealand. That's at least what I was told last year.
And should we come up against New Zealand in the World Cup in a few years' time, this is going to have a big say on what's going to happen. So we need to lay
exactly.
down
Well, obviously, a few years ago when we played New Zealand, when they were missing half their team and some in the back arse of nowhere in America, and we destroyed them. That'll obviously have a bearing on the future of Irish football as a whole.
So
I feel
we're the best team in the world if we beat New Zealand.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a big. So there's a lot of pressure on these players you're going to talk about here now.
Right. Well, it's funny you say that, Mark. Actually, because kind of the couple of standout performers from the weekend are players who were not in the Ireland squad this month, or who have not been in it recently, or in one case at all. So the first one is Kieran Clarke. Now, a much forgotten man by many Irish football fans. He was a mainstay in the team for a long time. But he was kind of thrown to the side at Newcastle there by Benitez towards the end and also by Steve Bruce. But he's back. He was playing in the five-man Newcastle defence as they drew with Chelsea.
They lost to Chelsea. Newcastle team is so ragtag. It's brilliant.
Did Clark start against Man United as well?
He did. Yeah.
But he was the... Newcastle's best player at the weekend, according to the local media outlets. So now, you'd assume when Mick McCarthy is preaching all this, and we've talked about this many times before, and how the rules apply to some players and not to others, but he's been preaching about getting playing time in the Premier League and how important that is. If Kieran Clark is playing for Newcastle and Kevin Long is still not getting anywhere near looking at Burnley, you'd have to assume that Kieran Clark would be in the squad instead of Kevin Long, maybe. Dirk Williams is another one who played really well at the weekend, so he's in there too.
Saw some of that game. Williams was very good.
Yeah, but then the other one, and I know Sean is a big fan of this man, Ryan Manning. He is reborn at QPR playing left back.
There's not many former Galway United players that have time for, but he's one of them.
Like, why is it that all our best players now are fullbacks?
Well, I'm also really
expediting the whole process for Ryan Manning. He's gone from not being in the squad to being one of our best players.
We often think of the players not in the squad as our best ones.
Well, the thing is with Manning is that he was just sort of forced to go into left back by QPR. He's a playmaker. Like, he always played behind the striker when he played for Galway, and then when he moved over to Loftus Road, that's where he played, and he just ended up going further and further back. I think it's an affliction we have with nearly all of our fullbacks. Like, Enda Stevens, I'm surprised, has always been a left back. He was a left back at UCD, left back at Pats, all the way through going to Sheffield United. Like,
he's actually moved slightly further up the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas most of them, like Stephen Ward, was a striker, and then when he moved over, they were just kind of like, you're not a striker. You're not a left mid. I suppose you're a left back.
Matt Doherty was a centre half.
Everybody decided that Kevin Caban was a left back for his entire career as well, despite the fact that he was
apart from Ireland.
Yeah, but no, but no, like no. We eventually, he was always a left winger as well, yeah, and he was left back for Ireland for years.
He was going to just put in there. Yeah. You couldn't play Caban at left wing when he eventually moved back to left back. So. You couldn't play him at left wing because he wasn't quick enough.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting way off topic here. Ryan Manning, right? He scored an absolute cracker of a goal. If you don't see it, I encourage you to look it up. It's up on site, where basically the ball fell to him right at the edge of the box on his left foot, and he kind of toe-poked it with the outside of his left, curled it into the bottom corner. It was a beauty. That was the equalising goal to bring them 1-1 against Hull. They won 3-2. QPR up to fifth now in the championship, for a team who were nearly relegated last year. And by all accounts, from what I've read, obviously I haven't watched every QPR game, but everyone is saying that Ryan Manning is their best player by a mile this season. And he was again at the weekend. So actually, we've seen he was linked with a move to, I think Newcastle have linked with him, Southampton. I think there was another Premier League club.
Watford,
yeah. And his contract is up at the end of the season. They have an option to extend it by year, but that could be one for January to keep an eye on.
It's also one that, if you're Ryan Manning, that's a very difficult situation to be in, because QPR are in the playoff positions, could possibly get promoted, and he's their best player, as you're saying. And all those teams you link with could end up getting relegated.
But also, there's something to be said for, if he goes to Newcastle, listen, I love Ryan Manning, but he's not as good as Jethro Willems. He's just not. He goes to Southampton, he's not as good as Ryan Bertrand. He goes to Watford, who plays left back for
Firmino.
Kiko Firmino, or Yan Mata's right back.
Jose Halivas.
Halivas is getting on. So maybe if he was to go to anybody, I would say Watford. But Watford seem like they're odds on to get relegated.
There's also the other argument to be made there, because there was a very similar stuff being said about Alan Brown this time last year. If you remember, he was tearing things up for Preston. And I remember Preston fans being like, we're losing him. He's gone. He's definitely not going to be with us next season. If we don't get promoted, he's going to be in the Premier League. Then he got an injury. He was out for a couple of months. Hasn't really got back to that form. And now he's not even starting for Preston.
But then he was just kind of replaced by Daniel Johnson. And Daniel Johnson seems to be better than
there's nothing necessarily to say that another player couldn't come along if Ryan Manning doesn't take this move while it's there. Now, we're not saying that it's definitely happening, but you always have to kind of look when you have an opportunity to move up the football world to kind of take it when it's there. So that's basically it with Ryan Manning. He didn't play well, but he's back first start of the season. We know Mick McCarthy will love this one. Robbie Brady.
Yeah.
He's back playing for Burnley. He lasted an hour. He didn't play well, but at least he's back playing. So hopefully he'll get back to fitness.
Aaron Connolly had a difficult second stint. What do you call that?
Difficult second album.
Second album. That was a metaphor. Difficult set about. He came off. I think it was 46.
This is half time.
After his Stone Roses first start against Tottenham. He's his second coming.
Yeah, Brighton had a difficult second album, to be fair, losing Aston Villa.
Paddy Madden scored a hat-trick one at the
more
weekend
man,
as well.
One more man I want to mention.
Paddy Madden.
Paddy Madden,
it was a first half hat-trick as well, was it?
Yeah.
Or it was very close to a first half hat-trick.
Got a hat-trick for Elle Fleetwood. Big up Paddy, big up the Coolock
Massive.
Paddy
Madden scored as well. I know when you're watching Soccer Saturday, you just see them coming in at the ticker. Like, they're not even really paying any attention to them. I'm like, yeah, go on, Hammond. They need to put them in green.
One more man I want to mention who is playing a bit further up than those lads is Josh Cullen. I know we made the very compelling argument why he should have been in the Ireland team. And in the end, Glenn Whelan played well. But he's still putting his case out there. He was absolutely outrageous, apparently, for Charlton at the weekend. They beat Derby County, formerly Frank Lampard's Derby County. I seen a couple of people tweeting. There's a great account on Twitter we've mentioned before, Blade Analytics, who tweets out the Sheffield United stats, but he also does tweet up some other stuff as well, and he's kind of put up the stats to show how good Josh Cullen has been for Charlton. And they only got promoted from League One last year, and now they're seventh, and they're only four points off top, I think. And that's how close the championship is.
It's one of those situations whereby I think now you're hoping like a Connor Coventry does the same. Obviously, Cullen's still on loan from West Ham, and he was earmarked as being like a sort of heir to the throne of Mark Noble. You hope Coventry does the same. Maybe he gets a loan move in January because they were out of the League Cup and Coventry was playing the odd time for them. You would hope that he gets a loan move, probably to League One, do what Cullen did last year. Cullen was one of Charlton's best players last season, and he's just done it again at a higher level.
Yeah, you'd wonder about Cullen at West Ham. Well, hopefully, like next season, he might get an opportunity. West Ham are a club that like to spend money, though. So even if they do decide to bring in another midfielder and there isn't a place for Cullen, if he keeps playing like this, he might get himself moved to another Premier League club, maybe in the lower part of the league to start off with anyway, because West Ham kind of have aspirations of being Top seven, no matter how they may be at times, but it's
nice to see that, you know, you have a like a centre mid like Cullen, like ripping it up in the championship. You know, you've got Malumbi in there who's playing
again at the weekend,
who's playing for Millwall. Like, that's what I need to, like, people forget how good a level the championship is.
Yeah.
So all the questions about, like, you know, what level players are playing at.
I don't think the step up from championship to international football is that high.
It's not that high. It's all about who's giving you the instructions and what you're instructed to do. Josh Cullen, as you know, was evidenced when he played against Bulgaria, was man of the match. And then as evidenced this season, he's a very good player.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I agree.
I should correct myself. Paddy Madden actually did the complete opposite of the first half hat-trick.
He scored a second half hat-trick.
Yeah, he did. but he's a person whose name is actually kind of fun to say.
Paddy Madden.
That's a professional segue there.
Brings us on to he's not in the rankings, he hasn't been in the Premier League, but it's time for us to reveal our own and decide in an overall top five Premier League players whose name is fun to say. So this is a very important discussion to have this week. The big debate, we'd call it, only that Sky Sports have already stolen that segment name or that show name. We could break
what
this
are
off
we going to call it? This
TV
is
show.
Going to be a new segment, by the way. We're going to do this every week in some form. It's not always going to be a top five, but it's going to be something
we
along
call it
those lines.
The medium-sized discussion. the hastily put together
medium-sized discussion
chat. Yes.
Next week we'll have a proper name for it. But
this week our topic is top five players in the Premier League whose name is fun to say. In Premier League history, that is.
So you've got 27 years.
27 years to go through.
So let's just point out here, it doesn't necessarily have to be a funny name, although some of them will be funny names, I'm sure. It can be a name that you just enjoy saying.
Yep. It rolls off the tongue.
If it has nice alliteration, it has nothing to do with their actual abilities as a footballer. I know by my list, it definitely doesn't anyway, but purely name-based, so... Yep.
Also, we will have a couple of honourable mentions. We're going to each list them from five down to one. We're going to have to decide then on a consensus top five, which could take a while. We obviously want your suggestions as well. This is not a finished list. You can get in touch with us by tweeting us at BozDOTIE. Message us a comment under any of the posts on Facebook at Boz.ie as well, or on Instagram at BozDOTIE. You can also email the show by emailing thegaffer@Boz.ie. Put the Boz.ie football show into the subject header and it'll come to us. First of all, I want to just give one honourable mention overall to a name that isn't all that fun to say, Well, it is. It's kind of fun to say, but it's really fun to listen to Apre Match doing Ronnie Whelan saying it. So much so that it's actually in our intro. And that's Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Bastian Schweinsteiger. Ronnie just wants to say Schweinsteiger.
So with that done and dusted, I don't think he's going to make it into any of our top five. No, I just want to give him a shout.
Oh, he played in the Premier League.
We start off with number five.
He barely played in the video.
We'll start off with number five. Gary, who's your number five?
My number five is, and this one is just purely for the alliteration, I feel, rolls off the tongue lovely. There was a couple of spots there. He kind of squeezed in ahead of a couple other ones. But my number five is Usama Asaidi.
Ooh, I like
just
that.
Just because of the way it, I like the way it feels in my mouth.
That it's a nice fuzzy name to say. Yeah. It almost like sort of
Usama Saidi, you know, Usama it calms, soothes me.
And the amount of S's in there, that's yeah. what I mean. Like it, you kind of, your tongue is kind of shaking as you say it.
Yeah.
I like that. I like Usama Saidi.
It's one that would fly completely under the radar.
See, he won't forget it because not only did Asaidi play for Liverpool, but he scored that goal against Chelsea for Stoke.
He was a baller in FIFA as well yeah. when he was at
he
Liverpool.
He was class, yeah.
Who's your number five, Sean?
Right, I was stuck between three for my fifth spot now. My top four would be top four, and okay. But I got stuck between two former Liverpool strikers and one former Aston Villa striker. So,
oh, I wonder who's the Aston Villa striker lad I was thinking of. Sorry, go on. Get your Middlesbrough out of the way.
Middlesbrough lads, have you got any guesses for the Middlesbrough lads?
Joseph Desiré Job.
Of course, yeah. He's in there. Have you, Gary?
I don't know.
And then the other one I'm thinking of is either Massimo Macaroni or...
That's all you need to say. I was also thinking of Slizard Nemeth, but I know I'm not pronouncing his first name correctly because I used to always call him Lizard Nemeth when I was a kid.
Did Middlesbrough just sign players based on their names? Because a lot of the lads mentioned have no like expressed football quality.
Yeah, it's like
Alfonso Alves is a good name to say as well.
Yeah, I actually taught him as well.
As when they were signing the likes of, you know, Fabrizio Ravanelli and Alan Boxic and stuff. But it's like they got decent names but brilliant footballers, and then it just went to better names but worse footballers.
It's all about those jersey sales.
Oh, stop.
Boxic was such, and Ravanelli, they're both fantastic.
Ravanelli nearly made my list. Yeah. He was like
and
seven.
The other lad was Bosco Balaban. Great name.
So who is your number five?
I think I'm going to go with Joseph Desiré Job.
Okay.
The cousin of Joel Matip.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
Is he Joel Matip's cousin?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, just, you know, like, even if you're reading it, it's, you know, Joseph Desiré Job.
Can I actually give a couple of my honourable mentions since Sean gave his, and we won't have to come back to them then?
I've got plenty more, Gary, if you want more.
Titi Camara nearly made it for me.
Titi? Yeah.
Demba Ba is just a beautiful
name.
Yeah,
there's something about Demba Ba.
Abel Xavier, I like the X.
Yeah, like there's you don't get many. Like you don't get many X, X's.
And I had one more I wanted to mention here. It was, of course, Sammy Hippie or Hoopie.
Who else did I want? I had a few honorable mentions. I like Cesar Azpilicueta when you pronounce it properly like that, but nobody else does that, so he couldn't qualify.
Oh,
really,
like Kepa Arrizabalaga.
Eric Maxim Choupo-Moutang. But no one
calls him his full name. Exactly. And like Chupa Moting's a decent surname, but it's
which
not.
Which is why I rule him out. Sylvain Ebanks Blake was another one.
Yeah.
Sylvain as much as anything else. But
I have another Sylvain Leguinsky. Do you remember him? He used to play for Fulham.
No.
Is he your top five or
No, he's an honourable mention. Just for big up all the Sylvains out there one time.
Couple there's an awful lot of players, right? And this is to spill into my top number five. I seem to have a grow for French sounding names. And there are a lot of them that are nice to say, like Yuri Jokaev and Didier Deschamps. But I think the one that's pretty simple, but somehow I was like, no, this has to go in my top five because I used to love saying it when I was younger, was Christophe Dugarry.
I was on that wave.
Yeah.
Christophe Dugarry.
It's just, you know, there's nothing mad about the name, right? Because
I was looking at a Stefan Givrar, you know, with his little, the apostrophe in his name. But that's just too much.
Yeah.
It's like,
but just Christophe Dugarry. You can, like, if you just say Christophe Dugarry, it's...
Christophe Dugarry.
Dugarry. Dugarry. So that was my number five. Gary, number four for you?
My number four was Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting.
Gosh,
there you go. I kept the poker face when Merrick said it, but I love it. Short-lived stint in the Premier League, now big up at PSG doing bits, I like that name.
I went for a very short-lived Premier League footballer, but one that I loved when I was 8 years of age, and it is Nicola Ventola.
I like that, yeah.
You just can't get, like,
I forgot. I have no memory of that man as a,
he
as
scored
a,
one goal for Crystal Palace when they were in the not the first time around, but Ian Dowie's Crystal Palace.
I like the name
Nicola Ventola. Yeah, you know, you like a bit of rhyming in there, you know.
I like that, but I don't know if it's going to make the top five overall, to be honest. I don't know if he's well known enough.
He's not well known enough.
Yeah. My number four, and you're going to be annoyed at me because I only have my number four, is Jan Venegor of Hesselink.
Nah, not number four. That's my number one. Like, now that he's mentioned, I have to, you know, mention the whole thing.
No, I didn't. I didn't do that.
What, that's spoiler alert. That's not the reveal. You could have said, we'll talk about it later on. He's higher up my list.
No, because I have to call you out now for being wrong.
And for what? And for what it's worth, I think it's an overrated name.
Why?
I don't know.
Do you have him in your top five?
No.
Like the fact that you can't say his name, as Sean, as you pointed out earlier, you can't say his name without saying his full name.
Because it's all like,
opposite of the Motang problem.
Yeah, you have double barrel names, and like, you can sort of almost pick and choose. Well, not pick and choose, it's a person's name. But it's not like Jan Venegor hyphen Hesselink, and you can go, oh, your man Hesselink that you play for Hull. No, you have to say Venegor of Hesselink, and even Venegor of Hesselink doesn't quite hit correctly. So you've got to go, oh, Jan Venegor of Hesselink.
Yeah.
And he insisted on putting his full name on the back of his jersey, which is something I absolutely respect. Like, it's like, do you remember Sean Roy Phillips used to have his name going, and it used to have that huge arc? Yeah. So it'd be like, right, and because he was so small, like the W would be down at his arse. Yeah. Like, so they had to get specialized font made for Venegor of Hesselink so they could fit it on a line, on a straight line on the back of his jersey. I love that, man.
I'm sure we'll even talk about him more when we get to our number one picks. Gary, number three for you.
My number three is a kind of a name like that, I think, where if you're saying it, you have to say all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Steed Malbronk.
Oh.
And I think any man who's called Steed is automatically just... And then Malbronk is the icing on the cake. So I like Steed Malbronk.
And it's got
there.
That French ring to
that
it.
That French flavour. Yeah. French flavour.
Your number three, Sean.
Was a man that I learned how to pronounce his name through John Motson saying it wrong on FIFA 2004.
Is this Gervinho?
No, it's Stelios Giannakopoulos, as he would call him, or Stelios Giannakopoulos.
Yeah, Stelios Giannakopoulos. I thought you were going to go with, I'm going to start it off for you and let you finish, Socrates
Papastathopoulos.
The problem is, I was thinking about them, and they're too difficult to say.
Yeah,
there's no fun in trying to say it.
You see, I think Stelios is just a great name anyway. Yeah. But then anytime they try to embellish his name, like John Motson has that for life now. Is, you know, Giannakopoulos, and because it was FIFA 2004, they didn't like do different takes of his name. So they go Giannakopoulos on the ball. It was like Giannakopoulos on the ball.
Number three.
What is it, Mike?
Jean-Alain Boumsong.
Ooh. Yeah.
Like, Newcastle have a tremendous, tremendous record of centre-backs whose names are fun to say. Including, can I mention, the underrated Titus Bramble. But
I have one here as well, Nico Stapisas.
As my mother used to call him, Titus.
Titus Bramble. But Jean-Alain Boumsong. Yeah. Has to be.
You often forget Boomsong's first name. He's a player that you always remember, but I always never think of his first name for some reason. Yeah.
When
you
say Boomsong is a powerful surname.
Yeah, it's when you say it all in one go, it flows, doesn't it? I like it.
That's what I often call the Fresh Prince's Boom Shake the Room as Jean-Alain. Because it's a Boomsong. Oh,
dear.
Oh, you're welcome.
On that bombshell. We move on to number two, Gary. Who have you got?
My number two was another big money signing to the Premier League who was actually not very good at football and didn't last that long, but has a cracker of a name. Ricky Van Wolfswinkel.
Oh, yeah. My guy.
Yeah, Ricky Van Wolfswinkel, of course, the Norwich striker who I think he might have scored one Premier League goal.
Yeah, like he was not very good.
15 million for him to like save their season, and he was muck, but cracking name.
Number two for you, Sean.
Peggy Arfikstad.
He was on my list.
Who has been around first team now, right? So he retired in 2005 at the age of 32. But at that stage, he had been around first team squads for 16 years. You want to know how many appearances he made? 39. And he played for Liverpool, Marseille, Coventry, Leicester, Lille, Lyon. Like,
Sean, I don't want to freak you out, and this probably won't be great for our listeners, but I, as you have seen, and I sound like Keith Barry saying this, but before you mention that name, I have not touched my laptop in the meantime, but I'm going to turn to you to reveal what is on the screen.
And it's Peggy Arfaxad!
It is Peggy Arfaxad's Wikipedia page.
So I have no memory of this human being existing.
Well, he made a grand total of 2 Premier League appearances for Liverpool.
He was signed for Liverpool in the summer, where they signed 3 goalkeepers. They signed Vesterveld and Kirkland, I think. That's
They signed Vesterveld. I think they signed somebody else as well. But then the season afterwards, they signed Kirkland and Jerzy Dudek.
Yeah, but good
Peggy Arfaxad. You know, it hits right.
I don't. Is he that fun to say, Peggy Arfaxad?
I think it's such a weird first name Arfaxad. And such a weird second name that it actually is fun to say.
Can't stop saying Peggy Arfaxad.
Arfaxad. Maybe. My number 2 is Papa Boopa Diop, the man mounted himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need Papa Boopa Diop in your top 5.
I didn't have him even in my honourable mentions.
I'm saying nothing.
By design, did you not have him in your honourable mentions, or was it that...
Completely forgot he existed.
They call him The Fridge? Was that his nickname?
The Man Mountain. Papa Boopa Diop. Also, just... Papa Boopa Diop is like, you can't not say his full name.
Yeah, it's another one.
And Andy Diop, the players in the Premier League, I just end up calling him Papa Boopa Diop. And also, you just kind of always, I don't know why, you just relate it obviously to Chris Kamara. You can't say his name without saying it like Chris Kamara. You say, Papa Boopa Diop. He's my number 2. There's no, I he was definitely top 2 for me. There was no way
Now that I remember him. He's top 5 all time.
And
no,
I'm going to turn to you, Gary, because you have a hint there saying you're
my
saying
number
nothing.
One, and he was the first name I wrote down earlier when I was putting together this list. Undoubted number 1 for me is Papa Boopa Diop.
I thought as much.
Yeah, he was number 1 for me straight away when we were doing this. I was like, Papa Boopa Diop, number 1. Yeah, it was the first name that came into my head.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
My number 1 was? It was Jan Vennegaard Hesselink.
My number 1. And this is going to be very difficult to put a top 5 together, a consensus top 5, because we've so few that cross. My number 1 isn't even in either of your top 5s. It's Quincy Owusu-Abe. Owusu-Abe is a brilliant brilliant surname. That's fun to say.
Quincy,
but the
though.
Man's first name is Quincy.
That ties it all together. It really does, yeah. He just has a great name. That is a great name to say.
It's a good name.
It's a good.
Short lived time. He was around as well at a time when there were a lot of great double barreled young strikers in the Premier League who turned out to be not all that great.
Ebanks Blake,
Florence Cinema Pongol.
Big up Floron.
Ali Adier wasn't double barreled, but the way it's pronounced, it does sound like it was. But
Ali Adier, like you forget, like. You literally, his surname is Ali Adier. The more I say it, the more I get it wrong. Because I keep thinking about it. It's like, that's not how you pronounce it.
Right, lads.
Some late people who had just, or a couple of other honourable mentions I forgot about, but just Kiku Musampa, because he's Christmas Hampa. Phil Babb is, like, if we weren't Irish, I think Phil Babb would be way up there.
Yeah, we just overlook Phil Babb.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had had Curtis Fleming in my head. And that's not a really fun name to say, but the more I said it, I was like, Curtis Fleming.
Another Irish link in my list, I had Dion Dublin, which I think is a great name because the alliteration. And I think it's kind of opposite of Phil Babb. I think if Dion Dublin was Irish, we'd think much more of it.
Muzzy is it? Juan Pablo Angel. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of other ones, but we're going to have to put a top 5 together.
Can I just quickly say that I forgot Mikkel Beck used to play for Middlesbrough, and the more I look at his name, I think it's just a precursor to Nickelback. Like the Norwegian cover band that playing Nickelback songs are called Mikkel Beck.
Look at this team photograph.
oh dear. So I think Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, by the way, is a great name.
He was on my shortlist.
As I'm writing down Jan Vennegaard of Hesselink.
My not-so-shortlist.
But I think the problem with that is that sometimes players are like too ubiquitous. Like they, like Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink was a top goal scorer in the Premier League, so therefore his name just became
lost its allure.
Exactly, like
Mark Viduka, another one. Send us in your suggestions, but not only that, send us suggestions for other things you want us to discuss, topics like this, to that we can make a top five of on the podcast. We'll try and do it each week, but until next week, please do subscribe to the show, and once you've subscribed, be sure to rate and review it. If you can give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, we'd really appreciate it. But until next week, mind yourself.